This is the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast, episode 128. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy and sci-fi books. We cover everything from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, space opera, pure sci-fi, everything else in between and on the sides. You can expect to find the best and brightest authors from those book genres here on the show each week. Plus, we'll add a few other very special guests along the way. Kicking off this thing's list week, I think I can kind of dig in and tell you that I took a little bit of a break from writing the current story in the Extreme Medical Services series. I got invited to join a special project, an anthology of short stories entitled Hellcats. And this is a collection of short stories by authors from all sorts of fantasy and sci-fi genres, plus a little bit of historical fiction and a few other genres thrown in for fun. These are all amazingly talented and accomplished authors joining this project. The funds from the anthology are going to be used to help a woman in need keep her home so she isn't forced out by some predatory family members. This sounds like the kind of epic quest for heroes that I always look forward to writing about, and now I kind of feel like I get to be part of it. So stay tuned. I'm actually going to be inviting the editor and creator of this anthology on the show to talk about some of the stories and to share her vision for what projects like this can do to create good in the world. And it's kind of why I stopped what I was doing and wrote in this project. Now, the good news is the short story I wrote is actually going to tie in to the Paramedics Amazon book 8 in the Extreme Medical Services series. It'll actually be kind of an origin story for a new character I introduce in that book. So if you're interested in finding out a little bit of a side story from that world and you like that series, you might really want to pick up a copy of it. And I'll tell you when it comes out. It should be out sometime in the beginning of September 2020. So anyway, you can always find more about what I'm up to, including when new projects like that come out, by heading over and joining my reader group over on Facebook. This is Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. Just look it up and join the group. It's a great bit of fun. We talk about all sorts of fantasy books, not just mine, fantasy movies too, and it's just a lot of fun to interact with folks over there. So I urge you to head over and join the fun in that Facebook group, or you can always find out more over at my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Let's go ahead and jump into this interview for today, and I'm excited because we get to have Justin Fike back on the show. Justin was on about a year, maybe a little over a year ago, and he is one of those people who has always loved stories and storytelling, probably as long as he's been alive. He grew up reading epic and classic fantasy stories and wanted to grow up and write stories just like that as an adult. And guess what? Today, he's living the dream. So Justin and I get to talk about his Far Shore Chronicles books. He just released a box set of volumes 1 through 3. So you can go ahead and pick those up. But here's my interview with Justin about this exciting series. Justin Fike, it's great to have you back on the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about what we talked about in the original episode we did, but that's been a while, and you're actually re-releasing the Far Shore Chronicles, so we're going to be talking about that a little bit. But before we dig into your books, why don't you introduce yourself again to those that maybe didn't catch you the first time around?
Sure. Well, like you said, my name is Justin Fike. I'm an indie fantasy author, have been officially an indie fantasy author for about 2-3 years now, but unofficially for, good God, like a decade and a half, something like that. classic story of taking a longer time to get the first book out and learning how to actually write well and all that good stuff. So I write adventure fantasy primarily, and epic fantasy, and yeah, I mean, we can get into more detail than that, I guess, but that's me.
Yeah, and I know you're working with Michael Evan and is it Jeff Kohanek over there
at
Fallbrandt Press?
Yeah, that's been great.
Kind of started up and are helping a lot of great indie authors, which I think is fantastic. Jeff's really got the marketing thing dialed in for his books,
yeah.
And he's been able to share that with others and help success there as well, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's been such a great connection. I mean, A, those guys are awesome. And B, I know, at least for me, I mean, I know there's indie authors who really enjoy the sort of the inside baseball of marketing books and managing ad platforms and all that kind of stuff. I had made my peace a long time ago that I was going to just need to figure it out, but I've never really enjoyed it. I really like interacting with fans. That's really fun. Or just other readers and other authors. I love that part, but the kind of the legwork and all of the, there's a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of number tracking and that kind of thing. Just to be able to get your books in front of people who will like them. So I'm super thrilled that we're able to do this, and it's already been freeing up a lot of time for me to really focus back in more on the writing, and gave me space to actually record the audiobooks for the box set, which is something I'd wanted to do for a long time, but just had never been able to carve out room for. So I'm really grateful. It's been a great experience so far, and I'm looking forward to releasing with them.
And I think a lot of readers don't understand, the primary difference between indie authors and traditionally published authors is really the fact that indie authors kind of have to assume all the hats. You know, they wear all the different guises of the publishing business. And when they're writing, they're writers. And then sometimes they're more editors than writers. And then, they've got to do the marketing thing, and they've got to, upload their books correctly and get them formatted in the right way so that they actually look right when you get them on your Kindle or your Kobo device or whatever the case may be. And ultimately, that takes up a lot of time. And you said, it's one of those things where you kind of say, well, I think I can learn that. I've been lucky enough to have a good assistant that I trained to do some of this stuff that I was doing, which freed me up. But, not everybody can afford to do that. It took me, I've probably had 15 or 20 books out at the time before I was able to afford to, pay somebody
right.
a little bit for like 10 hours a week of work. And so I know that's a great service that Jeff and Michael are offering to people like
yeah.
you. And the good news is they're picking really great books.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like they have such a great, because it's a publishing company that was created by authors, like indie authors. It was just, to my knowledge, one of the only, I haven't encountered very many of those. So they understand what goes into successfully releasing a book. It's not easy to how hard it can be to break through the noise and the vault and actually just get a book in front of the kind of reader who's going to enjoy it and help them tune in and go, oh, wow, this is going to be a next great read for me. It's harder than you think. And then to be able to do that in a way where they actually they involve me in the process in a way that a lot of other publishers aren't interested in doing. Like I feel like we work together. Which I really love, that aspect of still being able to be a part of my own projects and that sort of thing. They're great to work with because they actually understand what it takes and what it's like to be on the author side of things. So that has been really good.
Now, you did not have it in audiobook before, but you do have you're going to be coming out with the first three books in the box set in audio. What was that process like?
Oh man, that was crazy. Kind of like you said before, it was funny. I remember I was in early conversations with Michael about possibly signing with them, and then he called me one day and he was like, "Hey, I know this may be short notice, but do you think you could record three audiobooks in about 3 weeks?" I was like, "Sure, I'm game. Let's give it a go." Because they really wanted to do an audio book release as well. They're working on that with some of the authors they've published so far, but haven't done that yet. So it was a big learning curve.
You recorded
it
yourself
then. I'm sorry?
You recorded it yourself reading the book.
Yeah,
then.
I did all the narration.
That's awesome.
For it. Yeah, it was really fun. So I actually have a pretty long running background in theater and like voice and music. Done theater programs, gosh, since I was a kid. So it was this weird duality where the narration side, which I think is probably what would be more intimidating to most people, was actually really fun. So, and one of the challenges of it is that, so in my series, obviously the main character, Charity, is clearly the protagonist and it's her story. But right from the beginning, she sort of backs her way into forming this kind of ragtag misfit band that kind of becomes a scrappy little family over time. And there's five others of them. So five, a main character, and then five strong secondary characters, and they go on all their adventures together. And so it was a real challenge. I wanted to right from the beginning, I really wanted to make sure that each character had a very distinct voice, sounded, because there's a lot of dialogue where they'll just be talking back and forth. And I figured, man, it's going to get so confusing if I'm just, everything's in my normal speaking voice. So I had a lot of fun. I mean, I have kind of cultural analogs for all the different races and where they come from. So I listened to a lot of audio samples, did a lot of practice, and came up with a really specific character voice for each of the six main characters. And had a lot of fun with it. But I mean, if you had your ear to the door early on, you would have thought I was schizophrenic, because I was just saying the same lines over and over again, like slightly different inflections or different accents and things, until I kind of zeroed in on it. So that part was actually really fun. But it was more the technical side. Recording an audiobook is really challenging, especially when you live in a small house with a 3-year-old and a 4-month-old. Trying to find quiet windows to actually record, and then learning all the ins and outs of, like, at least a basic level of audio editing and mastering and audio production. I was, you know, using a whole new suite of software tools, and really had to kind of crash course my way through with a lot of tutorials. But I'm really happy with the outcome. I have it to some beta listeners right now, and I've been getting some really good feedback that they're enjoying them and things sound good and all of that. But yeah, it was definitely it was a lot of hoops to jump through and a big learning curve for sure.
You know, you're a brave soul, because I mean, I too have a background with theater and been a podcast journalist since 2005, and I would not even consider narrating my books. I don't have the attention to detail for it, and so I would really need to almost pay somebody to sit there and sit in front of me and be the producer,
right?
To follow along, make sure I'm reading it correctly and not skipping over things, or when I used to act, I get in trouble all the time for paraphrasing, because just, you know, I thought that I had a better way of saying something, even though they're my own words, I think I'd continue to do that.
Right. Yeah, I definitely did some editing of the books as I went along. It's different when you hear it read aloud. You go, oh, that actually doesn't sound right. But it was nice, because it's like, well, it's my book, so as long as I change it in the document as well, then it's okay. But yeah, it was taxing, like, because I had a fairly short time frame. I did all three of the first three books. So it was a fair amount of words to get through in a fairly short time frame. So I would do, when I was able to carve out time, I would go do like an 8-hour day and just record for 8 hours straight. And by the end, like, it seems like it shouldn't matter. You know, you're just sitting there talking, but it's exhausting. And by the time you're done, like, your throat's shot and you're kind of worn out, mentally fatigued. So it was a push, but I enjoyed it more than I hated it. And I'm really, really happy with the outcome. I've always been interested in audiobooks. And I know a lot of people really like them. I've heard from a lot of friends, they're like, oh, these books would be so fun as an audiobook. Your writing style is kind of cinematic and has that, you know, imaginative feel to it. So it would be so fun to just listen to it. So I'm really happy that it's done. I'm planning to do the same thing for all the other books as well, as the series keeps coming out.
No, that's awesome. And I, you know, I have a lot of audiobooks. I think I have 27 or 28 audiobooks out of my books right now. And it's a great market to be in. It's the fastest growing segment of the publishing industry right now. And so you won't go wrong. And, you know, the fact that you recorded it yourself, you saved yourself a lot of money. And, you know, that's the plus there. Because it's not cheap to create an audiobook, and narrators are worth every dime in my book.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the Far Shore Chronicles. I know, you know, there's probably a lot of new listeners out there that are not familiar with it or hadn't listened to the original episode. I really love the stories, and the whole concept of this series intrigues me. But why don't you kind of give us your sense of where this story came from and what leads it off?
Sure. Well, where the idea originally came from, I'm a big gaming nerd, and I like to run like tabletop games, like Dungeons and Dragons games for friends and that kind of thing. So probably it would have been maybe about 10 years ago, I came up with a campaign setting for a group of friends, and it was actually a little frustrating because I put a ton of work into it, and then we played like two sessions, and then the group broke up. But I couldn't kind of shake the idea of this world, and the basic premise was just imagining a scenario where a little basing off of our history of American colonization and the very early stages of that, this idea of, you know, what if when a new world had been discovered, instead of just being one that kind of reflected our own, that when we landed, we actually found that the world was populated by all of the myths and the legends and the folklore and the monsters and the weird stuff from our history of stories that we had always told, just assuming they were stories. And then all of a sudden we get here and it's like, oh no, these things are all real. And they're, you know, here in this land across the ocean. So that's the kind of the premise for the setting. The Far Shore itself is the first like human colony city across this ocean. And the main character Charity is an orphan who grew up in the old world and became a thief and kind of survived on her own, sort of scrapping it out on the streets, and was imprisoned and sentenced to life in exile in Far Shore. So the book opens up as she's sort of stepping off the prison ship in this world that everybody has heard these stories that can't possibly be true, but people keep swearing they are. And, you know, it's this kind of horrible place that the stories say it's this horrible place no one wants to go to. And here she is sort of having to figure out, you know, make her way in this new world and, you know, survive as best she can.
Yeah. And, you know, she's quite resourceful and, you know, quite able to take care of herself when she's, when she's not, you know, shackled.
Right.
You know, it is interesting to just see how you've melded all of the traditional fantasy races and the magic system and everything together into this concept of, you know, what if the new world was where all the, you know, all the magic was, right? And and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with it. I really wanted, when I started the series, I wanted to kind of split the difference and have all, there's something that I really love about the classics. You know, for as much as I love something really original, I love going back to that feeling of like, oh yeah, there's something great about just classical elements of fantasy. So I wanted to have like those traditional things, you know, there's orcs, there's dwarves, there's halflings, there's elves, there's magic, there's dragons, there's all this stuff. At the same time, I kind of wanted to set a challenge for myself to find some way to reinterpret each of those things in a kind of unusual way. So like, for example, you know, the halflings, instead of being sort of bumbling hobbit-like creatures that everyone thinks are cute, the halflings are terrifying. Like everyone in Dinan is terrified of halflings because they're sort of these, you know, feral jungle creatures that, you know, everyone knows if you go into the halflings jungle, you're not coming back out again, and they're probably going to eat you. And they're just like fierce and terrifying, and you know, even though they're tiny. And I, you know, just playing with those ideas of what are some different spins on each of these things that I can play, so that this character who is actually, like you said, she's very competent. And she has fully figured out how to like survive on her own, take care of herself. And yet you throw her into this space where all the rules have changed and nothing is familiar. So I've really been enjoying that dynamic of writing a really competent, self-assured character who is suddenly completely on the back foot and now doesn't know how to survive and has to kind of relearn so many things about the world and how to fit into it. So that for me has always been a fun challenge in this series and a fun contrast to be able to have that mix of someone who really can take care of themselves, except she kind of can't now because everything doesn't make sense. And, you know, the rules have all changed.
Now, how many books are you looking at for this series? I know you're going to release the first three as a one box set unit, but you have book four, and ready to go. What else is in the plan?
Sure. So the way I broke down the series, I have it planned out in two volumes. So volume one will be six books, and then volume two is also six books, and each one has like a full, you know, narrative arc start to finish. It's sort of like if you think of like a TV series structure where, you know, you have a full season arc that actually ends with a season finale, and then each episode within that tells its own story. So I have 12 books total planned. And I'm done with five and just getting ready to start up with six, which will conclude sort of the first full story arc of the Far Shore Chronicles overall storyline.
And the release schedule for those will be coming out soon after, I assume, the release of the first three?
Yeah, we're going to be on a pretty fast pace once the first box set is out. The second, which will be books 4 through 6, will be this fall, 2020, in the fall. I haven't nailed down exact dates yet with Fallbrandt, but somewhere in that like October, November range.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, where can folks find you if they want to look and catch up with what you're doing online, or see where you are, you post anywhere, or do you have places where you like to interact with readers?
Definitely. So, I mean, my website is just justinfike.com. You can find me there just for general information about me and my books. But the best place would be on Facebook. I have a fan group called the Far Shore Voyagers. If you search that on Facebook, you'll find it right away. That's my favorite spot to just hang out. I got a couple hundred awesome just readers hang out there. I mean, obviously, we talk about book stuff, and I do a lot of like exclusive reveals or live reads, early information about the series and kind of sneak peeks. I do some like world building information, like behind the scenes stuff for people who really like the story. I want to get to know a little bit more about the context of the setting and different things like that. But it's also just a really fun group of people, like, fantasy readers and fans who have similar interests and stuff. And we share fun things there. So that's my favorite place to connect with readers. But I also have an author page. It's just on Facebook, Justin Fike Author. And you'll find that's where I do a lot of like public information posting type stuff.
Excellent. Well, Justin, thanks for coming on the show. It is great to have you here as always. Wow, 12 books in this series. You're going to be busy, but I think the readers are going to be happy for it. So congratulations on moving over to Fallbrandt and handling the audiobook. Again, tip of the hat for that. That's way over my head for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me on. It's always great to talk.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focused community, which you can find, of course, over on Facebook, or you can find them over on the website fantasy-focus.com. While you're over there on the website, leave a comment on this episode post. Let me know what you thought of it and what else you'd like me to hear about. Maybe there's an author you'd like me to reach out to and interview. I'd be happy to try to do that. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show, so I hope you'll do so. You can do that using your favorite mobile app, whether iOS, Android. You can even subscribe by email if you want. Don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, because we've got some pretty awesome authors scheduled over the next few months. You won't want to miss them, including our next episode with Daniel Potter, so definitely come back and check that out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books, and of course my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, and my reader group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. We always love to have great conversations over there in any of those locations, and I hope you will join the fun. Whatever you do, though, out there, don't forget to subscribe and come back here for the next episode of the podcast. And of course, as I do every single week, I want to remind you that no matter what's going on, make sure you keep your eyes open out there, folks, because there's magic all around you.